This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details. Hello everyone and welcome to RHAP's coverage of Australian Survivor Brains vs. Brawns. I'm your host Shannon Gust, here to talk about that season. That is the first time I have used that intro. It's a little crazy to me that we are already here, but we are. What happened was they dropped the surprise date that it's going to come out, and that's in under 2 weeks. So I was like, ooh, we better get something out about this. So today we're going to give you everything you need to know right now, everything that's been put out by Channel 10, and then a little bit of our own super sleuthing around that about, like, again, like the theme and the location and then the contestants that are already out in the atmosphere, because it's Australian Survivor. It is not all of them, but it is more than half of them. So we have quite a bit to give you today. And to do that, I have to welcome in a member of the class of 2020, but also someone who I know is always so well-researched and knowledgeable about her subject. And believe me, I do a lot of research for the podcast, so this is, like, high stakes for me. I'm like, who is going to absolutely just research the hell out of this, find as much as we can on the small little bits that Channel 10 have given us about the subject? So I've brought in this guest. You may have heard her on the Australian Survivor Think Tank that we did last year, also the Australian Outback Rankings podcast with Rob. It is the great Amy Chan. Amy, thank you for being here.
Oh, thanks for having me, Shannon. You better get ready. We've gone from Survivor drought to, I think we're about to go to Survivor flood.
Yeah, I mean, well, we should say, like, we should be singing the Bee Gees instead now that we're in Australia. And I think that weather that you're talking about, that disparity, that's what they say is true of filming here in Australia, that those extremes of conditions. So it makes sense that we didn't have enough and we were suffering and we were complaining, and now we have maybe too much and we are suffering and complaining.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And I'm sure we'll get to it later, but certainly the conditions do sound brutal this year with the location that they've chosen. I think the contestants, it's probably quite a tough thing for them that they haven't been able to go to Fiji, because it sounds like this is much harder than sitting on a pretty beach somewhere.
Yeah, well, we'll definitely talk about the location. But for anyone who hasn't been on social media, we have a start date. It is July 18th. Sunday night, and I assume it's going to be 3 episodes a week. That's what it usually is. So if you're watching Survivor South Africa, that's already 1 episode a week. You're probably going to be having 4 episodes a week in a couple of weeks. And again, you can't complain, because you were complaining about the opposite just a few months ago. So that's where we're at. But Amy, you know, for anyone who hasn't heard you on some of the other podcasts or needs more of an introduction to you, can you kind of give the listeners a bit of an understanding of you and why you're here on this podcast?
Yeah, sure. So I've loved Survivor from the very beginning. I watched it all in the real time. So from the very, very first Borneo season, I've watched it all the way through. I particularly have fallen in love with this Channel 10 iteration of Australian Survivor. I just think the gameplay and some of the production value is quite polished and done in a really different way to what they're doing in the US. So I've been following it for many, many years. I've been a listener to RHAP for many, many years. And yeah, I was really excited to become part of the class of 2020 last year, and very excited to be here with you talking about it. Yeah, I'm following South Africa as well. So as you say, we've gone from no Survivor to a lot of Survivor, but I'm still here for it all. And I'm still very, very excited for the 18th.
Yeah, and it's just again, very soon. I was kind of shocked. I was expecting like maybe the end of July, but it's very soon. And even in that, Channel 10 has given, you know, not a lot, I would say, compared to, you know, Survivor South Africa, which in the past didn't give a lot. But this season, it gave, like, full cast profiles a whole month before, and you knew every single person, and we had interviews and everything. This time, we've gotten a lot of snippets, I would say. We've gotten a lot of drama, again, with that amazing Bee Gees cover that they have. We've got, like, that. So we've got, like, that three-minute kind of teaser. And then we've got three profiles on three of the people specifically. And then we've got a couple of like dualities where they do something like, I've written a couple of them down here. It's like Crochet King versus Entrepreneur, Author versus Surfer. Like these are the battles of our time. Like those are like the great battles that you think about in history. And through that, and then we've got like a little bit of a teaser on like just the Bronze Tribe and just the Brains Tribe. And through that, 40 names have come out of what I assume will be 24 names. And we have then dug a little deeper. And some of these people are completely anonymous online. I could barely find anything. And some are ridiculously famous. So there's a lot and a huge online footprint. So we're going to have a little bit of that. The disparity, I think, is what we're getting from this. But before we do, let's talk a little bit about like the details of what we know for the season itself. So as you mentioned, Cloncurry, Queensland, what can you kind of give an idea of the listeners of what this might be like for the contestants and why it's so different now that due to COVID, they can't go and film in Fiji?
Yes. So I think if you were a follower of very early American Survivor and you saw season two, the Australian Outback, this is the same state. So this is Queensland, but it's 10 hours away inland. So while Survivor the Australian Outback season two was quite near Cairns, which is sort of the top east coast of Queensland, this is very far inland, quite close to the Northern Territory border, sort of in the middle of nowhere, really. So Brisbane is the capital of Queensland. It's 1,707 kilometres away from Brisbane, so quite far away. You could almost say it's sort of Mount Isa territory. And so I think that's why they're talking about the conditions being so harsh. This is a bit of a disputed fact in terms of accuracy, but for the record at the moment, they're saying the highest recorded temperature in Australia ever, historically, was in Cloncurry at 53.1 degrees centigrade. So if you're living anywhere else in the world, that's 127.5 degrees Fahrenheit in 1889. So boiling, boiling hot, extremely dry, almost no rain for most of the year. It's very tiny little, the actual town itself is tiny, only just under 3,000 people. Home to the, I might pronounce this wrongly, Mithikari and Wanamara nations. So they're the indigenous people that call that land home first. And so it's going to be a really, really interesting experience to see what they do with this sort of desert location. I mean, I would imagine we have to presume there would be less water challenges. Water challenges, generally speaking, feature very heavily in Australian Survivor. So I don't know how that will work. I also wonder what they will do with the history of the space. Historically, Survivor has not always been great at recognising Indigenous people and our Indigenous past. And Cloncurry does have some sort of interesting sort of convict elements and settler elements that go along with it. Burke and Wills were the first Europeans to go to Cloncurry, so they were the ones who named the place. The first ever Royal Flying Doctor Service was in Cloncurry in 1928. So it's a place that sort of has this unique history, even though it is so far in the middle of nowhere. You can definitely see reading between the lines that there must be some sort of, I guess, juxtaposition of that uncomfortable nature of colonisation and the white people and the Europeans coming in with the Indigenous people not being recognised. And then in modern history today, Bob Katter, who is one of our eccentric, independent federal ministers for Parliament, was born in Cloncurry. So I think that sort of is a nice little cherry on top of the cake of this very bizarre location that I think will might lend a nice, interesting, quirky and memorable backstory and narrative to what is going to be, I think, a very, very tough physical season.
See, I love this. This is what I say when you're well-researched. I love how I had Cloncurry will probably be very hot and very cold, and you're like, the highest degree on record. I love that. I'm going to learn a lot and the listeners are going to learn a lot. And it's great because, as I said, Channel 10 haven't given a lot. And I think every single thing that they have, we will squeeze the life out of. And our listeners are going to come out of this podcast the most possibly informed about the season of Survivor that they can be, which is great. It's educational. I'm learning. I think it'll be an interesting location, and I think everyone's been desperate to get out of Fiji anyway. They filmed again. I'm going to be talking a lot about Survivor South Africa, but hard not to when you're in it and they're airing at the same time. But they filmed in South Africa as well, and I think everyone's really enjoyed even just the change of scenery. The fact that even though South Africa wasn't, but like for Australia and America, we've been in Fiji for so long. Everyone was kind of sick of it, and this seems like particularly unique. It's really like without even like the beaches or anything like that. So I think everyone's gonna like it, and I think everyone was keen for a change in location. So this, you know, was done due to COVID, but was probably a blessing in disguise.
Yeah, absolutely. I think seeing new topography and different colors and landscapes will just be a nice change for the eye instead of always on the same beaches. And I think as an Australian as well, I read that $3.9 million was given in localization in grants to the show to encourage them to film locally, I guess as a bit of a stimulus grant during COVID. So I know we're struggling at the moment, and particularly now people are really in the midst of lockdown. So having that money come back into our local economy for once, I think is a heartening thing as an Australian to see that everything that's come out of the show is going to be very, very Australian.
And it's good because I think an international audience has been introduced in a way to some of Australia and Australian people through it. And now they get like another layer of it. I mean, even like, obviously, I've never even been anywhere like this. So people will be educated about our country, which is cool, and get another glimpse of it. And it also forces the show to change it up. Like, as you said, there's usually like water and water challenges. So I think even if they can like work it into the design and the theme and the concept, it'll be very different, very cool, and unlike anything we've seen since at least season two of the US, which was now like, you know, some of the contestants, I think, are slightly younger than that. So that'll be, I think, really fun. And then another thing that is new to Australian Survivor, but that borrows slightly from the US, is the theme, which is brains versus brawn. No beauty. The lack of beauty jokes, I think, have ridden themselves to death at this point. Jonathan LaPaglia is the beauty. All Australians are beautiful, so it's irrelevant to say it. It's all been said, but what do you think about the theme that they've gone with here?
Oh, look, I like this theme better than champions versus contenders, because I feel like this at least puts all the players on an equal playing field. We're not like, here are all the winners and here are all the nobodies.
Well, we'll see. You know? I mean, I don't know, because it's like, they're like, what will win, brains versus brawn? And I'm like, in Australian Survivor, like, not that it will necessarily win, but like dominate the pre-merge, I think, is usually brawn, or what is usually like the champions tribe. Like, I think that for people who maybe, you know, our listeners might associate more with brains more than brawn. And I think we're all a little concerned that it's going to be people getting shoved in lockers for an entire pre-merge. So I don't know, that again, that disparity might really come out, and hopefully there are changes there as well, so that it's not just people like beating up on like some skinny smart people.
Well, particularly when we get to talking about the individual contestants, some of them are pretty scary. If I was going out there, I don't think I would be sleeping at night. When you see some of those contestants and how massive they are on the brawn tribe, that's some serious muscle that's going into there. We're not talking about a bunch of washed up, you know, footy players in their 40s and 50s as maybe what we could have argued we'd had in previous seasons. These are some tough, tough people on the brawn tribe. So I definitely think that's something to think about. One thing I thought was interesting about the fact that they don't have a beauty tribe is they actually have two models in the cast, and they have two people who clearly could be models and are sort of working in that influencer space, posting lots of beautiful pictures, clearly gorgeous and well-cut bodies. So I thought it was interesting that even though they have the talent to potentially create a beauty tribe, they decided not to go down that path.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that not having a beauty was for, like, lack of beauty, although I do think that's a hilarious concept. It's like, well, we really wanted a beauty tribe, but we just got so many ugly people across the board that, unfortunately, we're going to have to cut it to brains versus bronze. I mean, it's a good-looking group across the board. As you said, there are models, influencers, like, within the 14 people that we know. For me, I just assume that, like, even though they did three tribes in the first rebooted season in 2016, Australian Survivor likes the battle. You can even see by, again, those dualities, those ridiculous dualities that they've put out. It always, when they want versus, not two versus in it. with three tribes. They want that big, hard battle going against each other. What is better, this one concept versus this one concept, and these, like, two singular things as, like, a big war? And I just think that for them, adding a third tribe probably just makes it a little messier, not as clean, not as epic, because that's what Australian Survivor likes to do, is really just, like, be epic about the battle. And if you're going to cut out a tribe, like, obviously Beauty is, like, the one that doesn't really fit in that. So I do think it is cleaner. As much as I enjoyed BBB in the US and have liked the Beauty tribes there, or many people in the Beauty tribes, not all of them, but as much as I have enjoyed that, I think that this does work for Australian Survivor and the epic battle that it usually is.
Yeah, I can see how that makes sense. It certainly is a simpler concept to digest. It's easier to understand when you only have the two tribes and it's a really clear-cut sort of stereotype that you're looking at, and particularly because Australian Survivor really likes to lean in and sort of try and attract those more casual viewers in that prime time slot, that certainly makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, Australian Survivor, like, it's something I've been thinking about. Like, it's just such a different beast to the US and even South Africa. It's so much more to me of, like, the product and the production of it all and, like, really the TV product of it. That's why I think they seem to care a little less about, like, spoilers, as I've complained about 100,000 times, that they put the winner on the project, or maybe less careful about, like, who's on social media or, like, the sports bet odds. I don't think that's up to them, but I don't think they care is my point. Like, it feels like less of a game to me and more of, like, a big TV product, and, like, having these two concepts being brains versus brawn as, like, polar opposites that go against each other, I think that works into the theme and, like, the, again, like, it just feels bigger. It is longer and it is more in general, but, like, that bigger sensibility that AU tends to do.
Yeah, I definitely think that Australian Survivor would see itself as batting in the same field as all the other big franchise reality shows, the MasterChefs, the Bachelors, I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here, whereas I think in the US it sees itself as a much more niche sort of show, a much more cerebral, intellectual show. It's really playing to strategy and to the, you know, the diehard stands, whereas I think in Australia it really very much is just, it will, MasterChef will literally finish on the 12th, and on the Sunday, Australian Survivor takes over that spot until whatever the next big franchise is that comes in after that when Australian Survivor's finished. So I think that that absolutely makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I would agree with you. I think that there's the part of US Survivor that is, like, for the stands and all strategy, but then there's also the part of it that, like, is Survivor that's been on for 40 seasons in the US and kind of stands on its own, even for a casual fan base. It doesn't need the gimmicks because it's, like, US Survivor. Whereas, like, here, because it's only been around for a few years and it started late, it had to really, like, jump on the bandwagon of what everyone else was doing. And that was, like, again, also what you would commercially need to do, but just, like, bigger and louder and that many more episodes and, like, you know, the promos that they'll do that just, like, really try and grab people in, and working into a very competitive market that it has only been around in for a few years. I mean, quite a, like, a, again, like, a loud and big way. And I think that what I'm realizing as well is, like, Australian Survivor and Australian network TV in general is especially preoccupied with the big names. Like, it's got, you know, as I'm a Celebrity, Dancing with the Stars. I know other countries have this, but it seems particularly big at the moment. It's had Celebrity Apprentice. I saw as well, like, MasterChef is now doing a celebrity edition. And sort of, like, the Bachelor leads and the Bachelorette leads have been celebrities, which is not what the US does. So I think there is a more general theme towards, like, big public names and kind of blurring the lines more between, like, public figure and reality TV contestant. Whereas I feel like in the US, it's like you're a celebrity who might do, like, a celebrity specific show, but then there's, like, a big jump usually to what, like, reality contestant.
Yeah, I think that's definitely right. I think there is an element of, in the Australian entertainment industry, once they've got a name that they know will sell, they just want to use that name everywhere. And so that's why we sort of tend to see these same people often will pop up across multiple different shows or multiple different networks, because once they're sort of a hot item, everybody wants them. And I think it's guaranteed bums on seats in front of the TV.
Yeah. And also I feel like obviously there's less opportunity in Australia compared to America for public figures and celebrities. So, like, you have to really take those opportunities, where in America there might be, like, a little more to do and people who kind of become above it, really above it in America. Whereas, like, are any of our celebrities other than, like, Nicole Kidman and Hugh Jackman, like, super above doing Survivor? Probably not. So, I mean, we'll definitely talk about those people. One thing I also thought was really interesting, it was just a short thing at the beginning of, like, the big promo, but they called it a new era. And that was interesting to me because I feel like that's either something someone just threw in that is, like, on the social media team who is not in control, or it's, like, a definitive choice. And I find it interesting because, to me, it should be a new era. It makes sense time-wise. We've had, you know, I guess, a year and a bit layoff, but we've had, you know, time away. We've been very conscious about that time away. Going to a new location, we just had an all-star season, like much in the way that I feel like after US All-Star Season 8, that felt like a new era. This could be the same to me, much in the way that we've missed a year and a half for US Survivor, and that was after a big landmark All-Star season. That should be a new era. So I could see this, but I'm wondering if it actually will be. Because for the US, like, there are changes. There are changes probably in days and in name and the diversity initiative. Other than location, I'm wondering if this will feel like it's pushing forward into something. So that's something I'm definitely keeping an eye on.
Yeah, absolutely. I hope we get to see, even though some of these are people that we have heard of before, I do hope we start to see a little bit more strategy and a little bit less of that old school mateship, you know, stay loyal to the tribe all the way to the end. I think I would like to see a little bit more of that kind of next level, like exactly what you said, like we saw with season 9 in the US. So I think that would be great if we can get some of that. And I certainly feel like the very tiny little clips that we've seen online so far, that seems to be what most of them are talking about, is that strategy is something that they are definitely thinking about. They're not just there for the experience of being, you know, surviving.
That's such an interesting idea, because we've had such extremes of that, I would say, in the first 5 seasons. Like, we had 2016, which was, like, so mateship, and we've had, like, parts of that with the champions. But then we have had 2017, which was, like, so much strategy, and a lot of 2019 as well. And I feel like All-Stars was just, like, a big, messy clash of that with the family stuff and, like, the kind of cult leader stuff with Dave and the loyalty around it, but then also, like, extreme out-strategizing by him. And I think it showed, like, strategy will win out over loyalty, and you'll be, you know, the best player in the franchise is deemed by many. So I'm interested to see, if even, like, having seen that game, if that will push it further in the way people play. And also, just pushing forward into a new era where we saw all of that stuff, we got it all out in the first 4 seasons, then it all kind of interplayed in All-Stars, and now on we go, and, like, where is the future of the series going from here?
Yeah, absolutely. It's exciting times. I feel like we are ready for it to sort of evolve and change a little bit, so it'll be fun to see what they do with it.
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, more even editing. We don't get any more zero confessionals. Just throwing that one out there in terms of, like, where should the new era go?
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, let's talk about some of these people. I should say as well, you know, I think we all kind of want greater diversity, especially from Australian Survivor. And from some of these people, I think that that is there, and that's encouraging to see as well. And we'll have to see the full cast, but that's something as well they should push forward with in the next phase of the show. But okay, I want to start with the brains, because it's Brains versus Brawn. Just makes sense, goes left to right. I'm going in alphabetical order, which is probably not a good thing, because the first person I have's name is Kara. She's in the video an empath. That's what she's called. Everyone else gets, like, a career or profession, but hers is empath, which I assume is not a profession. I like, did the digging. I, like, signed out of my LinkedIn so that I could stalk everyone without them knowing. She looks like a real estate manager, and I otherwise have very, very little on her. But, Amy, like, you being the researcher who just told me Clonclari's entire history, do you have anything on Kara? Could you crack the code on her?
Yeah, so she is the director of a luxury real estate agency in the eastern suburbs of Sydney. So she's dealing with sort of, it sounds like, high-end property, and it's the way she's pitching herself, certainly in her professional websites and things, is that she, you know, oversees the multiple offices of her agency, and then she manages big clients. So I would imagine when they use that word empath, they're talking about she must be a salesperson. She's good at sales. She can read people. She can understand people. She can gauge what people are thinking by their body language, by their tone of voice. And so that will be something that will be a skill for her going into the game. She sounds like she must be extremely intelligent. She works several
years.
Brain
tribe.
Well, apart from that.
Yeah.
But, she worked several years in financial operations at a large insurance and superannuation company, a multinational. So she has a very, very strong, strategizing background. And I would imagine dealing with multi-million-dollar property sales requires you to have some skill at negotiating people and reading people. So I imagine that's why they've chosen to focus on her as an empath rather than to describe her as a real estate agent. Having said that, there is another real estate agent in the cast who we'll get to later, and they don't use that as the description for him either. So not sure why they are anti-real estate agents.
Well, I think because the other real estate agent is Braun, right? So you can't use it for one because then it's like, well, why are you – like, because they were especially in the Brains and Braun's videos where it was like pitting one against the other. So it's like, well, if real estate agent is the brain trait to have or profession to have, then how can another person be a real estate agent on the other tribe? So they had to go with like empath. And I think for him, they said like entrepreneur, but they could have done like salesperson for her or like business manager, something that sounded like particularly brainy to me. Empath, A, not a profession, the only one that wasn't a profession, and also like more intuitive than I would necessarily think like a brains person is. But that's on the marketing. Like, she sounds cool.
Well, it'll be interesting to find out a little bit more about the other real estate agent who is labelled the entrepreneur, because I would have said, if anything, looking at what I could see online, and as I said, you know, it is limited amount of resources online, it looks to me like she is the entrepreneur. I mean, she's the director. She's managing hugely expensive properties in eastern suburbs of Sydney. He looks like he was an employee of a real estate agency as opposed to the owner. And it's not really clear to me what he did after he left that job. So it'd be interesting to find out a little bit more. I presume some that I do get the sense that there might have been some stuff online that has been taken off due to, you know, legal requirements in the contract. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see because in my mind, when I look at her, she certainly comes across online as somebody who's been very, very successful, and I don't know why you couldn't call her an entrepreneur.
Yeah, also entrepreneur is not a brawny profession. Like, that is a brainy profession, definitely. So they definitely should have given it to her and found something else for the other guy. I would agree with that. Also, he worked for a real estate agency also in Sydney, I think, right? So I wonder if they know each other because, again, Survivor South Africa, people can drink every time I mention it, but there's been a lot of, like, people knowing each other from before the game, and there's a few connections here where I'm like, oh, maybe, and this is probably the biggest one because they work in, like, similar circles in the same area.
Yes, yep. He's from inner Sydney, so, yeah, they would definitely be crossing paths, you would expect.
I hope they're, like, professional rivals. That would give some, like, fun. Like, let's make up that that's true. We have very little to go on, so, like, they might be professional rivals, and that would be a fun subplot for us to track.
Yes, that would.
All right, that's Kara. Very little on her, but Amy, you still did great with it. The next we have is George. Now, people have probably seen George in the ads because he's the one who's been the political operative, and I think he got his own clip, and then he was big in, like, the trailers as well. So what can you tell us about George?
Well, sadly, even though George has got sort of one of the most amounts of publicity, there's actually very little I can find out about him.
Okay, I'm so glad you said that because I was like, Amy's going to come in and show me up. But for me, I was like, this is clearly, like, you know, his first and last name. I was like, clearly is, like, a very common name because it was, like, a lot of when I was trying to search and I couldn't find it. But they call him, like, the faceless man in the Labour Party. And I was like, this is kind of apt because, like, I can't find out anything about him.
No, exactly. So what I was able to dig up is he's a former ALP staffer for the current New South Wales MP of Bankstown. So her name is Tanya Mihalnik, I think. That's how you pronounce it. Sorry if I've said that incorrectly. And from what I could tell digging around, I think he has some sort of association with, you know, helping out at the Bankstown City Football Club. So presumably he lives in that area. And that's all I can tell you.
Yeah, I mean, look, very little from him. He's meant to be anonymous. That's the point. That's what the show is saying. Like, when they say he's faceless, they literally mean, no, I mean, he has a face, but, like, an online presence, not so much. But, like, the show wants us to care about him, whether that means he's, like, a super early boot or he's making it very far, I don't know. But we got a lot on him. He's got, like, the book smarts, street smarts thing. They talk about him as a brain. They call him, again, the faceless man in the Labour Party. They call him the puppet master pulling the string from behind the scenes. And then he says, like, he'll let the audience decide if he's a hero or villain. So I'm like, wow, a lot of questions being asked about you, and we have nothing on you. But I know I'm meant to care about you. So I could definitely see them taking this far because just conceptually, putting a political operative on the Brains tribe, on Survivor, the strategizing show, is something that I feel production would just completely eat up. So be prepared for a lot of confessionals that relate to his profession.
Yeah, I hope so. And I hope it's a lot of big moves too. I hope it's more than just confessionals. You know, I really would like to see him get in there and really show us what does it look like to actually be a politician in Survivor, and how can you use that and manipulate the people around you? So, yeah, I'm expecting big things from George.
Yeah, I mean, look, I expected when we got our first real politician on the show, correct me if I'm wrong, I mean, people went on to be politicians. Like, I know that even Rupert was, like, running as a libertarian candidate somewhere. But, like, in terms of people coming out, like, I would have been more excited if it had been, like, a public political figure. Now, that would have been juicy. But even though no one knows who this guy is, literally nothing about him, he still is, like, a complete calling card for the show. So clearly they're into the whole storyline and the idea of politicians playing Survivor.
Well, we did have Nova Peris, who was, she actually was a federal member of parliament.
Yeah.
But she never really leaned into that. I don't think they ever
mentioned that it was like a political, like she, because she was an athlete, but they feel like they completely overshadowed her political career with the athleticism.
Yeah, it's true. And especially because she was in that alliance of, what was it, seven athletes.
Yeah.
That was very much the line they towed, that she was, you know, she was loyal to the seven and that's where she was, and she was a leader, but they never really talked about politics so much. So, and we certainly didn't see that in her gameplay. So I'm hoping that with George, the fact that he is talking so much about strategy and manipulating people, that that's something that we'll see translate in his game.
Yeah. I mean, if I know anything about Australian Survivor, they'll definitely leap at the sport thing before anything else. So he must not be sporty at all, because they're like, we'll go like full politics for you. But I think they will enjoy that. And I think that they would love to make him a villain. So we'll see how that goes. Next, we have Georgia. She, again, got like the briefest of like little glimpses in the brains video. But she's a forensic/criminal and clinical psychologist. She's worked at maximum security correctional centers, which will be relevant later on. She's also a wife and a mother. And I got to say, like, she's one of many women on this cast where I was like, she sounds kind of awesome.
Yeah, she does. I mean, she sounds like she would just have such interesting stories, having, you know, worked in maximum detention facilities and so having that whole background. But then the fact that she now, I think, works in private practice in Noosa, I think she actually might also bring a lot to the game, you know. Her ability to read people, understand the way people think and why they think the way they think, I think she could actually bring quite a lot of fantastic skills to the tribe.
Yeah, she was one of the people on the tribe with the brains tribe where you're like, that just sounds like a really cool career. And I really enjoy, like, someone like Denise Stapley, like, how do psychologists kind of engage with Survivor, which is a psychological game? How can they use that to their advantage? Or how can they just kind of, like, provide an interesting insight onto the show? So I feel like she could be that kind of vehicle for us.
Yeah, absolutely. And I know we often talk about how it's not a great idea to go into Survivor and lie about your background or your occupation, but I do wonder, with her being a psychologist and having that kind of breadth of experience that she has professionally, that maybe you might want to downplay your career a little bit, because I do think, as another player, that could seem really quite threatening to have somebody there who clearly understands how to read people, understands how to predict people's behaviour patterns, you know, can really get to understand who you are very quickly, maybe before you even realise. That's something I thought when I looked at her profile and read up about her. I thought, oh, that's, if I was her, that's probably something I wouldn't be playing up so much, just how much experience she has and how good she is at her job.
Yeah, that would be really threatening to me. But then there's also the other side of it, which is like, usually people who can kind of bond on their tribe or theme can be important as well, especially when it's like this, which is like, who is better, brains or brawn? So like, she still has to be a brain. She still has to be really smart, and they have to like accept her in that. So they're still going to always know that she's intelligent. I'm sure she'll come across as such. But yeah, maybe like, don't give them the full resume. Like, don't lie about it, but just don't give them like every single thing on, you know, the resume.
Yep.
But she seems really cool. Another person that I thought was great is Laura. So she's a slashy. Anyone, again, listening to the Survivor South Africa coverage, drink. But she does a whole bunch of different things across the board. So she's a marine scientist, a presenter, and a model. I looked her up. She has 82,000 Instagram followers, which I was super impressed with. But honestly, like, that, there's a lot of people with a lot more on this cast already. But obviously has, like, quite a substantial following. She's a sustainability advocate and environmentalist. She's all about body positivity as well. She has degrees in biology and law, probably another person who shouldn't give like the full credit list as she lands on the on the beach. What is it? What's Plankari? On the sand?
On the sand.
Yeah, on the island? No. Yeah. on the land. Yeah, she seems kind of awesome. That's what I have in my last note. Like, she's got it all. She's one of the people who definitely could have been in the beauty tribe that you were probably talking about before, but she also is like undoubtedly a brain. Like, that would have been a really difficult decision had they had to make it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, she's been to Antarctica. She's been involved in so many different projects. When you read her bio, it is just so long. She's clearly a person who is not afraid to try new things, lean into new experiences, clearly has, you know, a lot of confidence in herself to put herself out there and sort of go for these leadership positions, and very adventurous. So I think that she's going to be a really fun personality to have around. But she's just had so much life experience. She's just done so many things. And I think she's going to be that sort of a player who will be quite versatile, because clearly in her normal life, she's out there doing all sorts of things. And can I just say, as a plus size model, when I look at her, she is not plus size. Well, I know this is not a new thing in the fashion industry, but man, she just looks skinny to me.
Well, she would, yeah, be categorized as plus size. The problem is that plus size isn't what plus size should be. But she she's also all about like body positivity. So like she, to me, when I was looking at it, like everything was like advocating for something. And it seems like she's like a passionate person about these causes. And it's just like not resting on the laurels of being, you know, like just like an Instagram influencer or a model or anything like that. Obviously, she has like the smarts and the degrees and all of the things she's done behind that. But even within that, like all the partnerships she had were like around sustainability. Like, she had so much that she's really passionate about and fighting for. I was like, I'm going to follow her anyway. Like, she seems like a really interesting and good follow. And like, how cool as well to like bring such intelligent stuff and such important stuff around like sustainability, for example, to like quite a wide audience with 82,000 Instagram followers, and like make that really accessible. So she's doing really cool stuff. Like, I hope that she can bring that to the show as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And what I love about her is she's not afraid to, you know, to sing her own laurels, to talk about all these amazing things she's doing. You do find there are a lot of people out there who are doing amazing things, but particularly I think in the Australian culture, it's not really something that you boast about or you're very good at marketing in terms of marketing yourself, whereas she is clearly very good at marketing herself and very good at, you know, putting herself out there and letting people know, this is what I do, this is what I care about, this is how I put my money where my mouth is, and I go out there and I actually support the things that I believe in. And so I think she's somebody who could actually end up selling herself quite well if she could get deep into the game, because, you know, she is not afraid to step up and show who she is and what she's done, and she's got the chops to go with it.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I will say is that I don't have very much understanding around the super fandom or even just the fandom level of these people. So we talk about like moving things forward in strategy. There's definitely like a lot of public figures, a lot of people that I'm sure they would want to get on again as like big names who bring in their own followings as they've had before with some of the champions. But I don't know how much these people have watched the show before. Again, like they could have zero indication. So that's something as well I'm keeping my eye on, because it wasn't like I saw one person. I'm like, okay, you're like the token super fan. And I feel Australian Survivor is definitely possible. Yeah, I think, you know, in ways the most disconnected from the fandom, because you usually get the token people, and I don't know that they're in the 14 that we have. You have like your Knicks, you have Harry, you have all the kind of super fan people, but then they have a much larger, I would say, subsection of don't know the show at all and just got contacted on Instagram because they have a really big following. So I don't know, again, like how that's going to break down, but I couldn't really see the obvious kind of super fan in this group.
Yeah, I think that's probably right. Probably George would be the only one that sort of seemed to be using phrases that sort of, you know, are clearly harking to what the show is about. Yeah, I'd say probably George, if anybody, but again, didn't come across as a super fan, just maybe somebody who understood the show as opposed to somebody who's never seen the show before.
Because often when they have the super fans, like, that's the shtick. Like, I feel like that was Nick's shtick, for example.
Yes.
Nick's shtick, yep. Where he was, like, the super fan teacher who's, like, he loves it so much and he, like, had it as his birthday party and, like, now it's his dream. And we have, like, if we're going to get that, you know, the super fan versus video coming up, like, we will. We don't have that so far, I would say. Like, it's no one's kind of gimmick. And I feel like for them, because it is a niche part of the show and they are more likely to have disconnected players from the fandom, then it will be the gimmick, because it'll be like, this is your thing. This is why you're a brain. You're a brain in Survivor. And I'm kind of surprised we don't have that, but we might still get it. I'm not sure.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. I did read something that is unsubstantiated on Reddit that there might be a super fan out there whose name might have appeared, but I haven't seen anything actually confirmed anywhere about that. So maybe that's to come in the next 2 weeks.
All right. Well, next we have Phil, who is described as the Crochet King. Now, this is something that it pains me to say. I didn't understand what this means, what this meant 6 hours ago, and now I do, and I'm obsessed with it. So crochet artistry is an amazing, awesome thing. What Phil does is create, like, again, like, yeah, crocheted art products, basically, mostly food stuff that they wear around their head a lot, or, like, as costumes. They had a partnership with KFC, which was really cool. I love that this can be connected to brands and that this is a thing that's sponsored because it's such unique art. Phil has 135,000 Instagram followers. The show describes them as straight up, loyal. They describe themselves as a Scorpio. So, like, that's the vibe that's being given up. Like, you know, again, some of the more hard-hitting brawns who may be a little bit more cutthroat or lethal. Phil is going to be maybe the nice one, maybe the trustworthy one, and that's the vibe that you get from the whole thing.
Yeah, absolutely. What I loved about Phil was that when we were talking earlier about Kara being named the empath, when my husband watched me doing the research for this, he was like, why are there some people that have occupations like author or political strategist and other people who were like empath? And I said, and crocheting, clearly that's not their job. And how wrong I was. Chili Philly's work is amazing. I just loved it. I could spend hours and hours following that Instagram account. You know, the crochet burgers, the crochet udon bowls, spilling upside down, crocheted edamame. It was just glorious. I really, really, really love that work. So I think that somebody who's that creative and that quirky and has those kind of amazing ideas will be a great personality to watch.
Yeah, that was true artistry. And like, if Australia's Survivor is going to do anything this season, it'll be bringing crochet art to the masses and on a smaller scale, bringing it to me. Like, I'm just happy that I got to see it. It's something I didn't know again that existed. And my life is richer for knowing that it does.
Yep, it's get onto it, people. Chili Philly is the Instagram account. Some amazing, gorgeous looking costumes on there.
Yeah, I didn't look through the whole thing, but I'm trying to think of, like, if I could request something, what food item I would want to be crocheted. They probably did sushi already, right? Like, that feels like an obvious
yeah,
one.
Yeah, 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 they've done sushi.
What would be the most difficult food item to crochet?
I did see one interview with Phil where they were dressed as a salad, and that was probably the only one that I saw that I went, oh, that's a hard one. How do you?
What, they're all so hard. Like, how do you do any of that? Like, what? I couldn't crochet a stitch, but, you know, I don't know how to do it, but, like, ridiculously artistic stuff going on here. Everyone check it out and be amazed by what crochet artistry is if you didn't know what it was before, which you didn't. Come on. Is there this whole world? I mean, 135,000 Instagram followers, I guess there is a whole world that I just wasn't a part of, and I'm sad about it.
Well, there's still time. There's still time. We're still in lockdown.
Yeah, you're right. By the end of it, I'm going into, like, my 8th month of lockdown at the moment, so why am I not a crochet artist? Like, I could have, you know, other people could have learned a language. If I had known about this, I'd be a crochet artist by now. Okay, well, the last brain that we have is Wei. She is an author, a children's and young adults author. She's also, I think, like, in digital marketing, like, clear brain, but I know that she's someone that you really look up to, so please tell the listeners every single thing about her, I'm sure, including, like, what she had for breakfast this morning.
Yeah, Wei is actually going to be my favourite. I don't know that she's necessarily my winner pick, but she is the one that I'm really, really invested in, and it's all about representation, isn't it? Because she is a Chinese-Australian author. She writes to children, as you say. She doesn't so much operate in the picture book space. It's more she writes sort of young readers so chapter books, but for younger kids, maybe late primary school, early high school, and then she writes YA books as well. And I'm also a Chinese-Australian author who writes to children. So seeing somebody who is sort of like me on the TV immediately just got my attention. I happened to meet Wei at an author's festival a few years ago, and she is such a lovely, kind, friendly person. I think people will underestimate her because she does come across as very sort of gentle, unassuming, quiet, but she's clearly very talented and very smart. She's won the Prime Minister's Literary Award, the Australian Book Industry Awards. She's a graduate from Duke University. I think she was born in New York, but she lives in Australia now and has done for several years. And you may have heard of a couple of her most famous books are Freedom Swimmer, which is a story about her father, who I never knew this until I read this book, but apparently there was a whole lot of people during the Chinese Revolution who swam from mainland China to Hong Kong in order to escape. I mean, that's an amazing kind of refugee story I knew nothing about. And her big sort of hit last year was a book called The Surprising Power of a Good Dumpling, which is also another amazing story. So I think Wei is just somebody that I'm personally very invested in because, you know, Asian players on Survivor are pretty rare. And then to have an Asian Australian author, and not only an author, a children's author, that's something that just really spoke to me.
Yeah, that's like strangely connected to you, like even within the realm of like not just an author, like that would be close enough, but it has to be a children's author. Yeah, so I guess, yeah, that hits close to home. As someone who knows her, has met her, kind of, like, what do you think her relationship with Survivor is? Like, is this something she's ever watched before, or it's something where she's a big name and would be good on the show and they found her and now she's on the show?
I don't know that she would have been a big enough name for someone like Channel 10 to have poached specifically for Survivor.
Unless they were trying to, like, particularly please you.
We know that Amy Chan. Yeah. She's been watched. Let's give her a gift.
Let's make sure she watches next season, for sure. Get that one. If we do this for every single viewer by the end, we'll have so many viewers, yeah, individually.
I don't know if she's actually ever seen Survivor, but given the sort of one soundbite we get from her is she talks about that she's going to be a resilient player, that suggests to me somebody who is not a hardcore fan. So whether she is somebody who's doing it for the experience, or I could be completely wrong, maybe she is a hardcore fan, I don't know. But I certainly, that word resilient did make me think, oh, I don't know what that means. In a Survivor language, that doesn't make sense to me. And so I don't know where she's coming from with that. And so that makes me feel like maybe she's not a super fan.
I guess it's because everyone in Australian Survivor needs to be resilient. Like, it's a very, very long game. And that's like a base level of skill that you need. And then you need to do other good things on top of it. So it's like a weird thing to be like, this will be my thing. Like, that's like, you know, like just the neutral level of what you can deliver.
Well, that's it. I mean, the show is called Survivor.
Yeah, so, exactly. So you're all surviving. You're all getting through it. And then, like, also other things, please.
Yes, yes. So I wasn't sure with that kind of language what that was saying about her level of understanding of the game, but happy to be proven wrong.
I can kind of see what production did because they had a tribe that was brains. And they're like, what's a brainy profession? Like, a writer. Okay, who's, like, a great and, you know, they probably went through writers and found her as like an interesting personality, and that would make sense to reach out even if she's not bringing like necessarily the profile. Like, I think she brings that character and again like that clear brain profession and personality.
I think also, to be very cynical, I think the fact that she's featured quite heavily even in the marketing in the early stages, she's sort of always one of the people towards the front. I think that diversity element is really something that the networks are hyper-conscious of at the moment. Particularly Australian Survivor has often been criticised for being too whitewashed, and so I think that probably has a lot to do with it as well. That ticking the diversity card is a good thing at the moment.
That's really interesting. Like, I don't know, I honestly don't know how much the network thinks about it. Like, I know that there's been talk about it. I know it's something that they should care about, but I still think, like, they're often very behind the rest of the world. Like, I don't think more than any other franchise, I feel like they're possibly thinking about it the least, or just maybe not on the same level. And I think that probably is true not just of Channel 10, but like across the board for Australian TV. So they probably are kind of happy to get that diversity in, but just like not as connected to it. And the diversity initiatives we've seen in the rest of the world have been certainly like pushing that harder. And it seemed more important maybe to the audience or definitely to the network. So I wonder if it is important to them, but I could see that, again, cynically, they would be like, well, once we have a great personality, can we also show you that, like, we're doing the right thing that we should have been doing a long time ago and we should do more?
I definitely feel like you say, across the board in the industry, there's probably not the level of recognition of this issue that we would want. But I feel like once you get to that level of when they're compiling group composite shots and things like that, I think at that kind of marketing level, they're very aware of, okay, if we have people of colour, if we have people from diverse backgrounds, we're going to put them right up the front because it sells well. It looks better.
Yeah, that is interesting. And as we've said so often, like, it does make for a better product to, again, bring in people, different viewers. As you said, for you to see someone like yourself, like, that shouldn't be a rarity. That shouldn't be something that's novel. but it is, which is sad. So to bring in different viewers is good for, you know, the ratings, and also to make it a more interesting show with different personalities all interacting, and just a more interesting kind of cross-section of people across the board is something that they should do. So hopefully that is something they're thinking about, just for like the quality of the show, and also because representation and it's important.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think we talked about in the think tank the things that Melissa Leong has done for MasterChef Australia. I think if you can, that representation really does mean people become really invested in the show. Like, I could see now that my parents, who I don't think have ever watched an episode of Survivor, might sit down and watch now because there's a Chinese Australian author, you know, and I, and then they'll say, oh, she's met Amy. We sort of know her.
Yeah.
Let's watch it now. So I do think that that makes a really big difference. And the more that the show can do that, the better it is for everybody.
Yeah, I mean, it makes no sense to, from a commercial perspective, to kind of alienate people who could be audience members, right? So including people in the cast and just being inclusive in general is just, like, to me, a smart commercial decision. So we'll see how far they push it when we have a full cast. And there are, you know, some really interesting personalities that we have in these 14 people, but definitely interested to see what the whole cast is going to be. So let's move to Braun, because we have Benny first. He's the person we spoke about before, the entrepreneur, even though that is a brain profession. And he's the one, he's like shown, he's like, I'm going to be ruthless, show no emotion, like that's going to be my thing. So I feel like we're meant to see him as like this like hardline, brawn person who probably, as an entrepreneur slash someone who works at a real estate agency, now that we know that, is the person who'll like do anything to get ahead.
Yeah, certainly the way they're pitching him and then the way he comes across online, interesting. This is one particular case where I feel like maybe whatever kind of embargo the show's had on the contestants has sort of meant that a lot of the websites that I clicked on to try and sort of find out a bit more about him were broken links.
Whoa. Okay. That's concerning.
Well, just in the sense, I don't know how much they sort of say you're not, you know, you have to shut down your social and your website before you go on the show.
But so many people had social media and websites that were active that we've saw.
Yeah, and I know Wei, for instance, actually had a thing on her Instagram saying, I will be, you know, taking some time off social media for a few months. I'll see you in a few months' time. So some people sort of seem to take that approach, or they just went quiet. For him, I'm not sure, really. So I'll be really – it was all very mysterious. As you said, he, you know, he's actually an American, so he grew up in California but now lives in Sydney. And was working at a real estate agency in inner city. Now he appears to run what's called a bike vending machine business. So when I researched that, it seems like it's a business that will bring in sort of bike racks with bikes that people can hire, and they're usually stocked at hotels, so big hotel chains, so that guests, when they arrive in a new destination, can hire a bike and get out and about and see their city. But again, when I went to try and look up his bike business website, that was all disabled. So not sure what's going on there. But yeah, I'll be interested to know more about him, find out what he actually is an entrepreneur in. Is it the bike business? And, you know, can renting bikes really make you rich enough that you're driving a luxury sports car and you've got your own boat?
Well, who said he had his own boat?
Well, that's what he's lounging around in, drinking champagne in the promo.
Right, all right. And I just noticed him. I mean, I was doing it pretty fast and I didn't notice any boats. But, okay, that's meant to be his thing. He's like the high roller, entrepreneur, ruthless guy. But this is getting spooky because you're saying broken links. This feels like dead ends. I would agree. So he has a podcast that I checked out. It had 4 episodes over the space of a month, like October roughly last year. It was on every single platform, right? Like more platforms than this podcast currently is on. But then it was just those 4 podcasts and then never again. My question, why?
Yes, yes. It feels like there's something odd going on there. I don't want to say shady, but odd. Even the fact that I believe he left his real estate job only in 2019. So if he is this hyper-successful entrepreneur with the bike business, how long has he been doing that, given that we went into a global pandemic and the whole travel and hotel industry was basically shut down for most of 2020? So it's interesting. I really would like to – I'm very curious to hear more of his backstory.
I have so many question marks. Is Benny a ghost who just, like, pops up for like some business venture, and then that business venture has a dead end, and then the site gets taken down, and then he hibernates as a ghost and then pops us up for the next business venture. Like, I'm confused about the fact that, like, because you can say social media and he had to take stuff down. There was so much social media around the other contestants, and that's definitely something Australian Survivor wants. Like, it definitely sees people with a lot of followers and is like, that is a reason we would recruit you. Please do post about it a lot. Please don't take your social media down. We want that publicity. So I don't think they're making him shut anything down. They definitely went like, stop doing your podcast a year ago. What happened to the podcast and all the other things?
Yeah, yeah. Very strange, very intriguing.
Yeah, cue the serial music on this whole mystery. This is, I guess, like the pitfalls of having no information about a contestant and relying on Google and then having nothing for Benny, the entrepreneur, who may be a ghost. You got to hear first. I don't know with Betty. I don't know what to say.
Will he be on his own ghost island all by himself?
Yeah, and also the fact that you couldn't find the stuff means that there's something's definitely wrong. Because if he defeated you in research, ghost person, over 100 years old, and his venture right now is Survivor, and then he will go hibernate into Ghostland again.
So. I'm really curious to see what we get about him.
I guess we'll have to find out because we have nothing for you. So we stretched that out a lot. But the next person, I have a lot on this person. She had a Wikipedia page, so that made it easy. Her name is Chelsea. Mm. She's an MMA fighter, 21 years of age, so very young, 22,000 Instagram followers. I want to get what you have on her because I have stuff, and that is that she has the strangest Wikipedia page I've ever seen in my entire life.
I feel like her whole Wikipedia page was a bit of a troll.
Right.
Because, for instance, okay, so first of all, I had she's a kickboxer, MMA fighter, Muay Thai. So for those who understand all the ins and outs of combat fighting, which is not me, just thought that might be interesting. You know, gold medalist in the junior IFMA World Muay Thai Championships, whatever that means. And she looks super cut. So I'm imagining she's going to be a challenge beast. But then there was this paragraph on Wikipedia that said, during the WEC...
Oh, my God, I have the exact same quote. Okay, we know it was strange. I literally just cut and pasted. Okay, yes. Keep going.
Okay. During the WBC international title bout, Hackett illegally struck her opponent multiple times in the back of the head whilst her opponent was on the ground, drawing a no contest. Not great, that. Consequently, due to this desire to strike opponents whilst they are on the ground, Hackett transitioned into mixed martial arts full-time in 2019. What the hell is that?
I think I know why that paragraph stood out to us both. I'm incredibly concerned for the Brains Tribe. We all, again, are horrified by the notion that nerds are going to get beat up on Survivor, and this is really not assuaging those fears in any way for me.
The way that's written is so negative, and that's what I mean. But I feel like it's a troll. Like, due to the desire to strike opponents whilst they are on the ground, is that really?
Oh, I know. Okay. I actually just worked out what has happened because I was. There's more to the Wikipedia page. For example, a lot of it. There's like a whole paragraph about her fighting with different gyms and how like. She was infused with different gyms, and now she's just trained by her dad. It felt like it was written by someone who knows her very, very well and very personally, but also hates her. And also, a lot of this had no referencing. So I would say to Chelsea, like, go and edit your Wikipedia page if you're listening, because it's really not good.
No.
And then it also says, so this was a sentence that did have some referencing. It says, Hackett was then invited to compete at Dana White's Contender Series 36, where she fought and lost to Victoria Leonardo on November 17, 2020. Okay. This bout demonstrated Hackett's experience, or lack thereof, where Leonardo outclassed her using groundwork. This led to a dominant win by Leonardo, who left Hackett unanswerable to Leonardo's grappling. Like, this is very emotive language. The result was no UFC contract for Hackett, and Dana White referring to Hackett as completely one-dimensional. And I just worked out as we were talking what has happened. The person who wrote this Wikipedia page is the person she continually beat up in the contest we just spoke about. Surely, right?
It just makes her sound like a thug. Like, not some sort of skilled craftsperson who understands combat and, you know, understands the nuances of different martial arts. She's just someone who likes to bash people when they're lying on the ground. That's what it makes it sound like.
It's upsetting, but I do think, Kate, we've been asking the question, like, what is the super fan level? What is the fan level of these contestants? And we will know. I'm going to check back in 3 days. And if her Wikipedia page hasn't changed 3 days after the release of this podcast, she's definitely not listening. If she is listening, Chelsea, your enemy, your arch nemesis, is writing mean Wikipedia things about you. Definitely go edit that. It's like the meanest and most personal Wikipedia page and the most negative Wikipedia page I have ever seen. And I'm on Wikipedia quite a lot.
See what I mean about, I think if I was in the Brains tribe, which I certainly would not be in the Brawns tribe, I would not be sleeping at night for fear of what Chelsea's going to do to me next time there's some sort of wrestling challenge, which Australian Survivor loves to have.
Yeah, that's a fun idea. It's like, okay, we're the Brains tribe. We're up against an MMA fighter, but like, it's all in the spirit of competition, right? Yes. Except that we got the MMA fighter who at least Wikipedia is telling me is like the one notorious for being like particularly violent. I'm concerned for Medivacs. I'm concerned for the poor Brains tribe that they're not going to make it out of this pre-merge alive.
I'm concerned for Chelsea. She needs to invest in a better PR person.
Yes. How has this gone unnoticed? Like, how is she not looking up herself? Unless it's true, which is more terrifying and like not an embellishment. But again, just to put a fine point on this, it's not just that she was beating people up in competitions. So Wikipedia is saying that she changed her entire code due to the fact that she wanted to beat people up and couldn't. Like, that's what it's saying, right?
Yeah. That's what it's saying. That she wants to beat up people who are lying on the ground when they are in their most vulnerable position and traditionally the fight would end. That's when she wants to beat them up.
With Wikipedia writers like this, who needs enemies? Chelsea definitely has someone out there who hates her and who got past the Wikipedia editors or who they thought this was fine. There's no referencing in like that entire first paragraph. So anyway, this is on Wikipedia. Everyone go check it out for yourself. If it's different, Chelsea, hello. Nice to hear from you. So that's Chelsea. I mean, like, I just read the Wikipedia page and I was done. Was there any more you found on her? Like, she has a pretty open social media, as I said, with 22,000 Instagram followers. She comes across as like a nice, regular young woman, but also the Wikipedia page is terrifying me.
Yeah, that's right. If you didn't read the Wikipedia, she just looks like any other, you know, super fit millennial influencer. But once you read the Wikipedia, suddenly she starts to look very sinister. Those guns are not looking so appealing anymore.
Terrifying stuff if you're a Brain. I pray for you guys. We'll move on to someone who got a whole video about them and who's also been a big part of the marketing. This is Danny. She is a prison officer. She has the very easy, like, take no prisoners tagline, which is like, I kind of don't like that you went there because it was so obvious, but also you have to do it. And also, like, a PR person told you to, so I don't blame you. And her whole thing is that she's been like a maximum security men's prison officer, which again connects to the fact that Georgia has worked at maximum security prisons. So like possible some interesting stuff they can talk about as they like wrestle in these difficult Australian Survivor challenges. But I couldn't find like any social media stuff for her, which to me would make sense if like I wouldn't want people that I was guiding in prison to be able to find me. But I don't know if you could find more on Danny.
No, there was a bit like George. There was very little on her. I did notice that she talks a bit about representing women and she's got nieces and so she wants to show how strong women can be in the game. But apart from that, there was very, very little about her out there. And I would expect that's probably even part of the job description, I would imagine, that, you know, I wouldn't, yeah, as you say, if you work in the prison system, yeah, you hardly want to be posting Instagram pictures. Here I am. This is my house. Please come and kill me.
Yeah, like you either have no social media presence or you link up with Chelsea on the, not the island, but again, like on the place that they're at. She becomes your bodyguard full time. Good luck to anyone who comes after you because she's destroying you.
Yeah, and then there was a lot of talk about snakes. So it did remind me of our friend Nick Iodanza, and I did wonder whether she would end up, if she had played on the same season as Nick, would she end up for being his nemesis because she was so anti-snake. She mentions it several times.
I don't think Nick deserved to go to a maximum security prison just because he lied in that one poem clue. Like, I mean, it was bad, but it wasn't, like, I think that bad. I think she deals with maybe a little bit more difficult personalities, but we'll see. I mean, that's a unique profession. Definitely something that I can understand why the marketing is, like, clung onto it. If you're a brawn, that's, like, a big, strong profession.
Yep.
So that's Danny. We then have Danny, who is a personal trainer, bodybuilder. This guy is like brawn personified based on his Instagram, which was also open. He has like a couple of thousand followers. Like if you're not scared enough of the person who, again, Chelsea's Wikipedia page speaks for itself, but like Danny looks completely ripped and I continue to be terrified for the Brains Tribe.
Oh, like he is huge. Some of the stuff he's doing on that Instagram account where he's, you know, I don't know what they do. Well, I'm not a gym person, but they do that thing with the ropes and he's flying through the air and he's just got abs and muscles everywhere. You know, he's a boxing coach as well. Yep, definitely extremely scary to be facing him in any sort of a challenge. He works at a gym in a city, Sydney. And interestingly, funny little fact that I found when I was stalking him online, he's friends with Christos Kyrgios, Nick Kyrgios's brother.
How did you find that?
I think I saw him on Facebook post something and then I saw a like by Christos Kyrgios.
Oh, wow.
I thought, that can't be, really? And then I went in there and, yeah, it was him. And he even made some sort of comment that made me think they have a personal relationship. It wasn't just a, you know, just a random like.
Incredible research. This is what we require. I mean, it would have been slightly cooler if it was like Nick Kyrgios, the famous one, but like Nick Kyrgios' brother, like at least it's something about him, which is more than we can say for some of the others.
Well, and Nick Kyrgios' brother is very close to Nick. So I think they have a lot of the same friends and things like that. I think they hang out together. So I wouldn't be surprised if he doesn't know Nick as well.
Did you think you would have to do research on the Kyrgios brothers coming into this podcast and that was what we would require of you?
No, but the timing of it is interesting because it sort of overlaps because in my non-survivor time, I'm quite a tennis fan. So we're right in the middle of Wimbledon now. We'll finish Wimbledon. We'll go into Australian Survivor and then we'll be going straight into Olympics and the US Open for the tennis. So there will be a lot of overlap between my two worlds coming together.
Yeah, I mean, this is huge overlap. He, like, kind of knows Nick Kyrgios' brother. Amazing connection. Definitely one day, like, one of the tennis players is ending up on Survivor. Like, Nick Kyrgios probably will be on Survivor within the next 10 years. I would put a flag down on that.
Well, the fact that he's already made the jump to Ninja Warrior suggests to me that he's clearly... he's
I've seen those ads. That's why that was, like, that seems like something he would do. And now I realize that those ads have, like, incepted me while I wasn't concentrating. And that's where my mind was going.
So he is, they used to have an English cricketer whose name is escaping me right now. He used to run alongside the course and do sort of live in-time commentary as they were doing the obstacles. And so he's left, I presume because of COVID, because he's English. Mm-hmm. And so they now have Nick Kyrgios doing that. And I think he's just got such a funny, interesting, quirking personality. He'd be great to watch on reality TV. I think he'd be fantastic on Survivor.
If not Survivor, like, he'll definitely be a contestant on, like, some sort of show with big names in the next 7 years. How close is he to retiring in tennis? I should know this. My dad is a tennis coach, but, yeah, whatever. I don't know. And he'll never listen to know how uninformed I am. But, like, whenever he retires, the next year, he's on one of these shows.
He will be retiring not too long away, I think. He just actually retired out of Wimbledon due to injury. So this week, maybe yesterday or the day before. So I don't think he's not going to be in tennis another 10 years.
I'm learning so much tonight about things I didn't think I'd learn about. all right. So next we have Emmett, who again is given like tiny, tiny little glimpse in the bronze package that we get. He is a health coach. So not a lot of him in the promos, but he does have 10,000 Instagram followers. He's, like, also brawn personified, like, super fit, Iron Man. He's, like, a former coach, personal trainer, and PE teacher, according to his LinkedIn. So, again, like, the sporty, healthy guy who might drag Chelsea away from you as she's beating you up or might join in. And that is the fun thing that the brains have to contemplate.
Well, this is another guy who had broken links. I could get the history of that he used to be a high school teacher. He's invested in working with adolescents and, you know, promoting health and wellness and, you know, fitness with young people. But then when you go to his personal business, sort of didn't really go anywhere. So not really clear how he does his health coaching or where he's doing his health coaching or, you know, is it just through Instagram? Don't really know.
He does have a big Instagram presence, so he, to me, would be less of a ghost. Like, he seems like a real human because Instagram would be how I gauge that.
Yes, yes, yes. No, I think he's a real person. I mean, he's done some amazing physical things. Like, you know, he's competed in Ironmans and he's done the Rottnest Channel Swim. So he's a real person. Just not sure why it was quite hard to find out sort of more about what that actually means to be a health coach. Like, is he a PT in a gym or is he sort of doing corporate training stuff with, you know, wellness and all of that sort of thing? Not really sure.
So, and not to say anything against the brains, but this is more like what the Braun tribe are bringing. Unless every second challenge is a puzzle, how are the brains winning even one challenge ever?
Yeah, no, I think you're quite right. Maybe balance, if there were balance challenges, but they don't tend to do those pre-merge.
The next person I'm going to talk about is a surfer, which I feel is like an extreme balance sport. Like, I mean, look, the puzzle's usually the great equalizer, but even like the puzzle thing doesn't lend itself as well to brainy professions. Like, just because you're a great writer doesn't necessarily mean you're an incredible person who's good at puzzles or an entrepreneur or whatever, compared to like, these are sports stars and fitness coaches who are like really fit and like, again, a surfer like will be good in the water. Like, these things I feel like lend themselves completely to like the hyper physical challenges. And I can't imagine how the brains will win like any, unless like the people we don't, we only know six of the brains and eight brawns. Like, maybe the other six brains are all like the monsters from Space Jam, but like with glasses on.
I was actually hoping that you'll see when we come later to, I think it'll be our next brawn person. I was sort of hoping that that person would actually be unexpectedly on the brains tribe. You know, I thought that would be a nice twist to have a couple of really brawny, well-known sports people that Australian Survivor tends to love to cast, chuck them on the brains tribe because, you know, maybe they've got a business or they've done something else in life to show that they're also smart as well as very strong. And that might help even it up a bit because you're right. Now I'm scared that the brains are going to die. They're never going to make it out of Queensland. That's it. They're dead.
Yeah.
Buried in Cloncurry.
Yeah, exactly. That's part of the history now. It's like, what's happened with that? But yeah, I mean, they did not spread it out. It seems that they really just did pack the Braun tribe with these very strong people. So are you talking about Flick as the next one? Because that alphabetically is where we're going.
No. Yeah, let's go with Flick first.
Yeah, okay. Because I was like, I don't know. But okay, the next one that you're talking about would be Gavin, right? So that one, I do see what you mean because that's who you're talking about, right?
Yes.
Yeah, because there's a lot of brainy stuff there. But also he is like an AFL legend of the highest proportions, like would be ridiculous not on Braun. But Flick as well has a lot more to her than just being a big wave surfer. But she is a big wave surfer who would excel in the water or in balance or in fitness. So good luck, brains. She rode the biggest wave ever ridden by a female Australian surfer. She has competed around the world since she was 16 years old. She's also passionate about marine conservation and the environment. So that's like maybe another link that we've spoken about. She has her own line of surfboards. She has 194,000 Instagram followers, which is pretty good, I would say. And she's also an artist. So she's bringing a lot to the table as well.
Yeah, a lot going on there with her. Just in terms of the balance, I'm just trying to remember when Ross was on, who was also a big wave surfer.
That's true.
Was he particularly good? I don't remember him being particularly good at challenges and balance. And
that is true. I mean, I don't know. Again, much like tennis, but my dad is not a surfing instructor. But like, I don't know the skills that would translate from surfing to Survivor. But I would assume that they are more than the skills as like other than being a writer, for example.
Yeah. No, I think that's right. Particularly with water. I mean, Ross certainly was very strong in the water challenges. Mm. So if they were to somehow import a giant swimming pool into the middle of the desert for them to do all their challenges.
I know, I'm saying she's in the water challenge because I imagine it, but there isn't water. That's right. That's why I love how different it is because I couldn't even conceive of Survivor without water, but I love the idea of just getting in like a kiddie pool. That would be amazing. An amazing way to make that work.
Can you imagine the Tower of Death would be like one of those 1920s circus acts where you climb up this long ladder and then you've got to dive right down to a tiny bucket.
Don't miss. I think that would be, I mean, they usually do incredibly challenging and difficult and possibly dangerous challenges. Like, why not do that? Also, they have, like, the annual drowning competitions, usually two. So how are they going to do the drowning competition in Cloncurry?
Yes, I wonder. Bury them in sand.
Imagine being Flick and being like, I'm a big wave surfer. I'll be really good in the water. And they're like, you're on Survivor. And she's like, great, I've prepared for this. And they're like, it's in Cloncurry. So it's like, never mind. I am now just a mere mortal like the rest of you.
Yeah, that's right, exactly. Well, she'll be good at running on sand, yeah. Presumably. So that's, you know, she'll bring that to the table.
Was there anything else that you could find about her online?
No, that was pretty much it.
Yeah, I mean, she has her own website and, again, like almost 200,000 Instagram followers. So she's putting out a lot of herself that is just very much like open to the public. And I think she's on Wikipedia too, so like public figure.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think if you know anything about surfing, which I do not, I would imagine she's somebody that people know about.
Yeah, she seems like a big deal. So the next person who also in different ways is a big deal is Gavin Wanganeen, who is a football player and AFL legend of, again, like the highest order. I was talking to my husband about this, who is an AFL expert, and he was saying, like, the odds of them getting a bigger football player than Simon Black, who is complete royalty in AFL, was low, and, like, Gavin Wanganeen might actually top that. He played for Essendon and Port Adelaide. He won a premiership at both. He won the 1993 Brownlow Medal, and he was the first Indigenous player to win the Brownlow Medal, and he wants to be the first Indigenous winner of Survivor, which is something that he says in his promo. So it's something that's really important to him, which is cool because he's clearly like an advocate as well. And I read an interview that he said his mum was taken as part of the Stolen Generation. So, like, as you said, brain or brawn, like, there's more here because he's an artist. Since he retired in 2006, he's, yeah, artist, gym owner, businessman, and a really fierce advocate, it seems, for things that are really important to him and a couple of different charities around, like, Indigenous culture. But not just that, like, I think he was an advocate for White Ribbon, which is against, like, violence against women. So some really cool things there. He has 6 kids and 11,000 followers on Instagram. So that's actually fairly private for a really well-known name in the footy world. And I think, like, as much as we've had sports stars or AFL players who have not hugely delivered from a confessional perspective or from a personality perspective, like, I think from the little I know about him, he could be very good.
Yeah, well, this is somebody who I deliberately didn't do as much research on because I know you like football and I do not like football. So, but I also asked my husband, who is a big Hawks fan and loves the football.
A Hawks fan, there you go.
Yeah, yeah, we're a Hawks house, yeah. except for me.
Oh, what are you?
I'm a nothing. Oh, okay. I watch tennis.
Well, you support the Hawks now, not because of your husband, but because of me.
My kids are always asking me to support the Hawks, but I watch tennis and I support Survivor and that's it.
Fair enough.
So, yeah, my husband was like, oh, Gavin Wanganeen, did they really get him? And in the sort of 48 hours that I was doing research on the weekend, I think I got called into the lounge room 3 or 4 times because Gavin Wanganeen was on the TV. My husband would be like, Amy, come and look. Mm-hmm. Here he is. So he's clearly somebody who is used to speaking in front of a camera, is doing a lot of commentary, is doing a lot of presenting, is very media savvy. And so maybe that might be the difference between him and someone like a Simon Black, who I also don't really know anything about Simon Black, but I imagine Simon Black, great footballer, maybe not so great as a presenter, speaker, somebody who's comfortable talking in front of a camera. So that might be, I think, where we might see a bit of a difference in terms of how he plays the game, how he plays up to the camera. And clearly he has a big personality that he wants to put out there in the world. So that sounds promising.
I mean, I actually have seen Simon Black like in a couple of like footy ads. I don't know what Survivor did to him, but I don't know if Gavin Wanganeen has more than that. Like, we had Brian Lake, who was a huge player. They then went on to get Simon Black, bigger player, and now Gavin Wanganeen, possibly bigger player than that. And Brian Lake, like, external activities notwithstanding, like, was really interesting television. So It could go any way with these AFL players. I'm really interested to see it. That advocacy stuff to me is really interesting. And, I mean, that to me is, like, a name pick that would, like, excite footy fans. I definitely had a lot of messages being like, Gavin Wanganeen? So good casting in terms of that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I certainly did not know who he was, would not know him from Bar of Soap if I saw him in the street, but the name Wanganeen is famous enough that even somebody like me who knows nothing about football, even I can hear that name and know that that's somebody serious in the football world. So I think that that will certainly appeal to the people who don't necessarily want to watch Survivor for other reasons, will tune in just because he's on the show.
Yeah, I mean, like, look, he retired in 2006. Like, he won his Brownlow Medal the year I was born. So, like, this is, like, legendary, but, like, historical legendary. Like, Simon Black, I think, retired later than that. Brian Lake, I know, was playing, like, well into the teens when he got the 3 premierships with the Hawks. So it's a long time ago, but I think, like, any, like, storied football fan will be into it. And he seems to have his own story as well. So I'm definitely interested to see that play out.
Yeah, definitely. I think, like you say, the dimensions to him, you know, it certainly piqued my interest that he's an ambassador for the White Ribbon campaign, the fact that he talks so much about being Indigenous, you know, he really embraces that, puts that at the forefront of his introduction.
And his art as well.
Yeah, the art is amazing. So I think that'll be really interesting to get to know his personality.
Definitely. Well, he's the second last person we have. The last person we have is Shannon, which excites me because all I've had has been Shannon Elkins until now, which is something I'm, like, keen to erase. Like, it will not be hard for this person to be the best Survivor Shannon. Also Shambo, but, like, people don't think of, like, Shambo as Shannon. So she's an influencer. They call it, in her promo stuff, it's like she's, like, the hustler, which is a different tribe, by the way. We have a hustler tribe. This is Brawn. But she's a model and a boxing instructor, so definitely Brawn. And she has 155,000 followers. But interestingly, I've noticed, like, the only one that I checked that had no Survivor posts on the grid, and I was like, I bet you that they're upset about this because they want your Instagram followers to know to watch the show. I don't know what she put on the stories, but I couldn't see anything on the grid.
Yeah, that makes me wonder, is she an early boot? Maybe it was not an experience that she necessarily wants to publicize because she didn't go as far as she wanted to go. Mm. I wonder about that.
Yeah, I mean, hard to know. Like, you can try and analyze this stuff, and then it's just like, like, they tried it with Tony. I always remember that they were like, this guy's going so hard in the preseason and stuff that he must be an early boot because he's getting it all out there. And then, obviously, like, he won. So it's, like, a difficult thing to analyze. But I was just like, show your followers about Survivor. Get people to watch. Shannon, come on.
Yeah, exactly. And, in fact, for somebody who is an influencer, so she should have quite a strong Google SEO footprint, you actually made it very difficult for me to research her because every time I typed in Shannon Australia Survivor, I just got you.
Oh, my God, really?
Yes.
That makes me so happy. I can't
just
believe
you
that.
Everywhere.
Well, now I'm actually kind of I'm now concerned. I'd never thought about that. I didn't even know that was something that I had. But now that you've said I do have it, I care very much about it. Now, like, if she wins, she will be Australian Survivor Shannon. I can't have that. I'm never going on the show. I have to root against her now in the hope that she doesn't, like, as someone who's not on the show, it's very, very easy for her to now overtake me in terms of, like, any prominence as Australian Survivor Shannon. I can't have that.
Well, what we need is for there to be a tribe swap and for her to go on opposing tribes to Chelsea, and then Chelsea can just kill her. And then
I don't know if I wanted to die, but yeah, I mean, definitely that might be something that can happen. Yeah, well, I see she's now, maybe she'll be aligned with Chelsea. I don't want to start anything with Australian Survivor Shannon, but, like, and I shouldn't be calling her Australian Survivor Shannon. I'm not starting.
No,
it.
That's you. Yeah. That's you.
That's something that apparently I have. I will say for Australian Survivor Shannon, goddamn. So I looked her up. She had a Vogue wedding profile, which, like, you know, when I see a Vogue wedding profile, I can't help but read the whole thing. And I didn't have a lot of time today, and I was like, don't get drawn in. Don't read this whole thing. Research other people. And, like, I still read the whole thing. It looked like a lovely wedding. She actually got married, I think, 3 days before I did. Actually, no. Oh. She got married 2 days before I did. I just forgot my own anniversary for a second. So a lot of parallels with Australian Survivor Shannon right now.
Is that you? Is that your doppelganger?
No. In a million ways, no. I mean, she's a boxing instructor. She is famous enough to get a Vogue wedding profile. You know what I would do to get a Vogue wedding profile? So much. So much. So she's undeniably already the better Australian Survivor Shannon, and that's something that I have to contend with. So
yeah. No, that's not true.
It's fine. She's on the show. I mean, I'm not doing anything. Like,
yeah, but she's not a producer on a South African version of Survivor. So
I don't know if this girl knows there is a South African version of Survivor.
You better go and buy ShannonAustralianSurvivor.com.
Yes.
Smart.
Oh my gosh, absolutely. I'm going to do that immediately after this podcast because I don't know that I would want it, but I need to know that I could get it if I wanted it. So,
yeah, well, you need to know she doesn't have it.
Exactly.
That's all.
I didn't realize that this was, I'm now, like, feeling very competitive about it. But no, that, I mean, definitely where the similarities end. She apparently belongs on Brawn as a boxing instructor as well. And it's interesting for me that she's the influencer. Like, that's how she's pegged. But, like, there are people with more followers than her, like, on, like, of the 14 people that we know. So that's interesting. Not a lot more.
Yeah.
She's got a lot of followers as well.
Yeah, it was, yeah. I think calling her an influencer in some ways, I feel like, sort of, what's the word, sort of downplays maybe what her skill set might be, because if you just looked at her social media, it all looks fairly stock standard in the sense that, you know, she's young, she's good looking, she's in the bikinis, she's at the exotic locations, nothing we haven't seen before, but she's very, very successful. So clearly there's other things going on there. So, yeah, I hope we get to see a bit more of her personality and that she's not just there to be sort of the eye candy and that's it.
Yeah, I mean, it would be really sad if they still reduced girls being the eye candy when they deliberately didn't even make a beauty tribe. Like, they obviously have other attributes. Show them to us. So we'll see for Australian Survivor Shannon where that. Now I can't stop, but now it's a thing. That's what she'll be all season, and it only disadvantages me. I hate my own SEO, apparently.
You need to go and change your Twitter handle as well, Australian Survivor Shannon.
I thought you were going to say you need to go change your name. I was like, again, like, I'm not, like, pushing it that far, but we'll see if she wins, then I might. All right, well, that is the cast that we know about. Again, some more than others. I hope people got a bit of an education around what's going on. The small amount that we can give, and I don't really know where this is going. So, like, I can't say what's coming up in terms of our preseason coverage. I guess I'm gonna kind of see where it goes, see if there's, like, more content that comes out, more people maybe do, like, more cast previews, but if we're not getting anyone else, I'm not gonna do that. So I don't know. I'm gonna speak to the PR, see what we can get going. I'm sorry to be so vague, but Australian Survivor does bring that out of me, and there's, like, nothing I can do. But Amy, thank you so much for coming on and giving the education that we need and as much as we can with that vague information.
No, thank you. It actually really clarified to me just how in trouble the Brains Tribe is. It actually made me very, very, very fearful for their lives. But I wanted to ask you, Shannon, are you able to tell us, will there be a talking tribal this season, or is that embargoed?
I actually cannot mention that, which, again, considering I don't know if there will be other podcasts, it would be a good time to talk about it. It's not something I can talk about at the moment, but
okay. Maybe,
you know, for all of this, I will say, keep an eye on social media. Follow me at Shannon Gates, and everything that happens to me in my life, you'll be able to see, or at Australian Survivor Shannon, depending on where I sit with this in a day's time. No, it's at Shannon Gates. Follow along with it and subscribe to the International Survivor Hap-Ups feed where you won't miss any of this, because, again, because I can't direct you to it in the future because I don't know, best that you just kind of, like, keep abreast of what's going on. But Amy, where can people find you and what you're doing on social media as well?
Yeah, so I'm on Twitter as Survivor Tragic. The main thing I've got going on at the moment is I've got a new children's book out called The Happy Mask, which I hope is something that people will go out and buy, particularly now, given nearly the whole of Australia is red zone and everyone's locked down. And if you're a parent, it looks highly likely the children are not going back to school next week, even though we're all desperate for school holidays to be finished. So, you know, if you've got small kids at home, or you're a teacher, or you just like picture books, that's out there. And, yeah, you can follow me and all my various ramblings as the different iterations of the different episodes come out each week. That's where I am.
Great. And, yeah, in terms of the actual season, again, if I don't get to speak to anyone until the season, TBD. It's all very, like, I don't know where I'm going to see you guys again, the listeners. But I need to confirm, hopefully, exits. I don't know why that would change. It's something I'm hoping to do. And obviously, we'll have the weekly recap. So, yeah, subscribe as always to be a part of that. And also, I would say, every week I'm doing Survivor South Africa recaps with Mike Bloom and a guest. We also have exits every week. There's a lot of coverage. Like, we put out today 3 hours and 15 minutes on week 5. So if you are an Australia Survivor fan, someone who wanted to know everything you need to know currently about the upcoming season, you clearly love Survivor. You're at the end of this podcast. If so, why are you not watching Survivor South Africa? It is on 10Play for free. It comes out every Friday morning at 9 a.m. We're only up to episode 5, so you're barely behind. It is much, much less content to consume a week than Australian Survivor. It's a lot of fun, so definitely check it out. And then join me and Mike on the coverage, which is under the same International Survivor Hap-Ups feed that hopefully you are subscribed to, and get all of that. So I hope that everyone will check it out because we're having a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't emphasize enough actually how great South African Survivor is. I know certainly a lot of my casual friends who watch Australian Survivor are sort of on the fence about whether they should go into the South African version. It's brilliant. Mm. Definitely watch it. They do a fantastic version with that. So, yep, don't miss out. Get on board with everybody else. And there's a fantastic community now in RHAP that's developed as well around that show. So join in, be part of it.
Yeah, because, hey, look, everyone that we were talking about here, like, we don't know if they're fans. No one kind of mentioned it. Everyone in Survivor South Africa who's playing is pretty much a super fan. They're all super engaged. It's a really fun cast. So definitely join for the ride. I mean, it's going to be 4 episodes a week. Amy, are you ready? Are we, like, ready for the Survivor overload that I guess we wish for? But, like, maybe shouldn't have.
Yes, I don't know quite how I'm going to parent two children throughout this time, but yes, I'm excited and scared at the same time. A bit like the Brains Tribe, I would imagine.
Exactly. Yeah, it's exactly that feeling. Look, it's exactly what I did 2 years ago. Covered South Africa and Australia at the same time, same part of the year. At least this time, I'm not planning a wedding. Is like my only comfort to myself. And that wedding didn't even make it into a Vogue profile. I'm so jealous of Australian Survivor Shannon and who she is. Like, seriously.
That's you. Australian Survivor Shannon is you.
I can't compete with the 155,000 followers in a Vogue wedding profile, but, you know, all the best to Australian Survivor Shannon. I will sign off now from just regular SEO is leaving me as I speak, Shannon. But thank you guys so much for listening. Amy, thank you so much again. Thanks to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and we will see you, whenever that may be, next time. Bye.
Australian Survivor.
Survivor New Zealand.
Survivor.
Survivor.
21 South Africans.
12 ordinary Australians.
16 New Zealanders.
Vincent Middle.
Given the swimmer.
£1 million.
Million euro.
Million shekels.
I think million rupee.
Tribe spoke. Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.
Tribe spoke.
For the adventure of a lifetime.
Share of a life.